the House approves an historic budget deal. Representative Gabrielle Giffords of Arizona makes a surprise appearance for the vote. China emerges as the world's premier pearl producer. And two brothers from Brooklyn make millions from a Medicaid-funded organization for the developmentally disabled. I'm Jane Bornemeyer with a preview of the front page of Tuesday's New York Times. In our lead story, the House of Representatives passed an historic debt limit agreement on Monday evening that would cut more than $2.1 trillion in the federal budget over 10 years. The vote comes after weeks of brutal negotiations between Democrats and Republicans in which newly elected members of the Tea Party played a crucial role. The drama now moves to the Senate, which is expected to approve the bill on Tuesday. Here's the Times' Kate Czernicki on the deal.
In the end, none of the sides are going to be happy with this deal. Democrats are going to say that it took too much. A lot of Tea Party types are going to say that didn't go far enough in terms of spending cuts and that they shouldn't have raised the debt ceiling at all. But this certainly shows the influence of the Tea Party and how successful they've been at creating themselves as a force, really, in less than 3 years.
That was the Times' Kate Czernicki. The first $900 billion or so in reductions will come directly from domestic discretionary programs and will include no new revenues. A new special joint committee would be charged with finding another $1.5 trillion or more in future cuts by Thanksgiving. If the committee is deadlocked or its recommendations are rejected by either House of Congress, another $1.2 trillion in across-the-board spending reductions would go into effect by early 2013. Also at the top of the page, Representative Gabrielle Giffords of Arizona made a surprise appearance Monday evening on the floor of the House. It marked the first time she's returned to Washington since she was shot earlier this year in Arizona. With 2 minutes remaining on the voting clock, Ms. Giffords entered the chamber through a side door. Her arrival prompted a standing ovation that lasted throughout the remainder of the vote on the compromise to raise the debt ceiling. She was among one of the last representatives to cast her ballot, voting yes on the measure as other affirmative votes put the bill over the top. Ms. Giffords waved and quickly was surrounded by her Democratic colleagues. Some Republicans crossed the aisle to see her, too, as she rose to wave again. China has long been known for producing large quantities of cheap pearls suitable only for costume jewelry. But now a 40-year-old entrepreneur is growing pearls that are beginning to approach gem quality and may be affordable for the average woman. A company run by Chen Weizhan is in the emerging capital of the world's freshwater pearl farming industry. And it's nowhere near Tahiti or other traditional South Pacific pearl havens. Mr. Chen works in East Central China, where his white pearls are beautiful enough and cost a fraction of the saltwater variety. Wholesale prices for half-inch white pearls have fallen about 30% over the last several years, and the influx of high-quality Chinese farm pearls has the industry in turmoil. The pearl industry is a microcosm of how China is moving beyond paying low wages and imitating foreign producers. Pearl farmers, like other businesses across China, are doing their own innovation and automation as wages surge, especially for blue-collar workers. Chinese companies have begun large-scale research efforts in everything from pearls to electric cars. Also on the front is this dispatch from Mogadishu, Somalia. The Shabab Islamist insurgent group, which controls much of southern Somalia, is blocking starving people from fleeing the country. The group is widely blamed for causing a famine in Somalia by expelling most Western aid organizations and depriving drought victims of emergency food. The situation is growing bleaker by the day, with tens of thousands of Somalis already dead and more than 500,000 children on the brink of starvation. Aid groups are trying to scale up their operations, and the United Nations has recently begun airlifting emergency food. But many seasoned aid officials are speaking in grim tones because one of the worst humanitarian disasters to strike Africa in decades has broken out in one of the most inaccessible countries on earth. Somalia, especially the southern third where the famine is, has been considered a no-go zone for years, and it's the graveyard of dozens of aid workers, peacekeepers, and American soldiers going back to the Black Hawk Down incident of 1993. And finally, two brothers from Brooklyn have earned more than $1 million a year each, running a Medicaid-financed nonprofit organization serving the developmentally disabled. They each had luxury cars paid for with public money, and when their children went to college, they could tap Medicaid through their nonprofit group for the tuition. One of the brothers went so far as to use $50,000 in Medicaid money for his daughter's living expenses while she attended graduate school at New York University. That money paid not for a dorm room, but for a co-op apartment in Greenwich Village. Philip and Joel Levy rose from scruffy bearded social workers in the 1970s to millionaires with homes in the Hamptons, Sutton Place, and Palm Beach Gardens. Their story reveals much about New York's system for caring for the developmentally disabled. The providers have become so big and powerful that they shape much about how the system operates, from what kinds of care are emphasized to how much they will be paid for it. The organization run by the Levys, the Young Adult Institute Network, has been among the most aggressive and is now the largest operator of group homes for the state, collecting more than $1 billion from Medicaid. And that's a preview of the front page of Tuesday's New York Times. For more on these and other stories, pick up a copy of the paper or go to nytimes.com. From the New York Times newsroom, I'm Jane Bornemeyer.